Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for True Crime News. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You heard it. Rolling along from Twin Peaks, Kennesaw. Weather outside's about 37 degrees, but it looks like the draft beer is at 29.2, Bo. So that's good news.
I love it when you get a draft beer and there's a little bit of like that ice mixture in it.
Yeah.
Oh, so
that's
good.
That's the only way, actually, in my opinion, to drink a good draft beer. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. The man, the myth, and the legend is now joining us right here, Mr. Dave Archer. And Arch, first of all, let me just lead with this. Told my wife this the other day. I know that this is a crazy season, but in this business, busy is a blessing. All right, and I know you're a busy man right now. So thank you for hanging out with us for the next hour, man.
Pleasure. Appreciate you guys bringing the show up near where I am. Thanks, Dill. Appreciate you back in the studio with the little studio audience. It's great to be with you guys. You guys do a great job. I listen to you guys a ton when I'm headed out to Flowery Branch to do the stuff I'm going to do. And there's one that gives a lot of solid information, and there's one that really there's not a lot coming out of him. And so you
don't
understand
talk about
where
that's, that way. Come on now.
I did learn a couple things coming in. I didn't get a Christmas card from Mike. I learned that, and then also
got one in the car.
also heard something that I know is a fact is that Bo doesn't listen to anybody. So
that's very true.
I heard that one. Very true.
You know what's
he just
funny?
Tunes you out, man.
You know
just
what's funny
you
is you called Arch my caretaker.
Yeah.
And so whenever if I'm on a road trip and my mom and my parents they listen and they obviously they follow the Falcon schedule to know where I'm at.
Sure.
So my mom will be, where are you at this weekend? She knows where I'm at. She knows. But I'll say, well, I'm in Minnesota. Well, I worry about you on the road. Is Arch with you?
Yeah.
And I go, I'll text her back and say, yeah, Mama, Arch is with me. She goes, okay, well, I feel better then.
Yeah, Mama.
And I'm like,
Arch is with me.
I go, wait a second.
Yeah.
I'm 41 years old, and you only can feel
I'm a man.
Still her
I'm
baby
a,
boy.
He dropped a Mike Gundy on me. Yeah. I'm a man.
I mean, she only feels good about it, that I'm safe if Dave Archer is with me.
I know that yours are yours are older, but I think I echo the sentiment of Bo's mom and everybody else, that I think they'll always be the baby boy and baby girl, man.
Oh, yeah. No question.
Mine are obviously 4-2. So, busy week for a lot of reasons, like I just said. Busy week for you, but obviously the news coming out this weekend that Michael Penix will start. Let me just start here before we get too deep in the weeds. Dylan did a good job on Fair Foul a couple minutes ago, and he said, is it fair that Michael Penix will throw more than 20 passes? I would say if I had my design on it, it would be right at 20. I don't want you to ask him to do too much. Giants, obviously, very bad run defense. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that you'd like to get Bijan and Tyler going. I think that that's kind of been the MO through this kind of funk we've been in with the quarterback play. And then, of course, the Raider game, it was predominantly the run game, and you're kind of trying to make sure it didn't get screwed up, you know, by doing something dumb with the quarterback. So I think they're going to turn him loose. I think that Penix will throw it at least 25 times in a game. I think the strength of this football team, certainly the way the offensive line's playing and the two running backs, the way they're pounding it. But you've got guys on the perimeter. You're going to have to go make plays on the perimeter. And you've got guys that have kind of been laying dormant Darnell Mooney, he didn't catch a ball last week, and he's been a big play guy. He's on the verge of breaking 1,000 yards. I know Drake's having his career year. And can you wake up what we thought was going to be a beast at the tight end position, potentially? You know, so Ray's been has career highs. So you've got playmakers laying all over the field. I just don't think you can go in thinking. You can go in thinking early on that, okay, let's get him going, let's get him feeling right and all those kind of things. But at some point, you got to trust what he is, and that means he can throw the ball down the field.
Yeah. Well, to that point, you know, I can't tell you how many times we've sat in the booth and Arch, we're in a break. Hey, Arch, what would you do? And he'll say it, and then the OC comes out and does it.
Yeah.
And it's because it's just knowledge. You've been on the game for so long. If you were Zach Robinson, how would you start that first possession? We know that a lot of times they're scripted or they have a set of plays that they want to get to, right? But if you're the OC, if you're Zach Robinson, and it's Michael Penix takes the field, you know, we win the toss, we receive the ball for that. Maybe that's how they want to do it. Boom. How are you? What's your first possession going to look like with the way you're mixing in run pass and which pass plays?
Yeah, I'm going to go empty and go four verticals on the first play of the
game. Take a shot.
I think that, you know, obviously there's a lot of trains of thought. You can go down different tracks and stuff. What are the Giants? See, Zach's going to kind of try to say, what are the Giants thinking? Are the Giants thinking, okay, based on what we see on tape, they're going to come out and run the football. They're going to try to get the quarterback loose. We're going to come out and try to run the ball, get him in a manageable down and distance situation. I would counteract that. I'd get his feet wet right away. I might go play action on the first down. Mm. You know, we didn't throw play action. We didn't throw the ball on first down, as you guys know. And Mike, you were covering it pretty closely. We didn't throw the ball on the first down in the entire first half of the game against the Raiders. So that would be something from a defensive standpoint that would be counterintuitive to me from the Giants. They're going to think, okay, well, they got a rookie quarterback and all that kind of stuff. I'd get his feet wet, right? But go through the, you know, obviously it's something you're going to talk through. You're going to talk through maybe the first 5-6 plays you want to get to. A lot of people talk about it scripted. It's not necessarily you're going to go this, and this, but there are down and distance things that fit into those categories. So here's our first third down call. Third and medium call. Here's our first down call. Here's our second and long call. Here's our second and medium call. So he'll have an idea of what those plays are going to be, and so he'll have gone over them in his head. But first down, if I came out play action, nothing would light the fire in the crowd more than to see Penix come out play action and stick one to somebody on a deep end cut or something like that. Or, you know, be able to find Bijan in the flat or something like that and get him the ball moving. That's kind of the way I'd go.
Let me just tell you something, Arch. If they run a bootleg on the first three plays,
you're going to love it.
David Bassey's going to kick me out of the media suite. He's going to be like, no, man, you got to go. You can't act like that in here.
Well, you hope that that's going to be in it, Mike. You hope that, you know, that's you. I know you've been talking about it ad nauseum since the beginning of the season. That's the counteractive play off of the wide zone. You've got to be able to come out the backside to keep the backside controlled. And it's not just to make plays in the passing game. What it does is it widens the back edge of the – and now all of a sudden we've seen Bijan on design cutbacks. We're bringing Charlie Warner inside and we're kind of trapping and he's getting a design cutback. Starts wide, gets in there. It's designed. Now all of a sudden he's got the ability to probe it all the way across and you're not designing anything. He's just running to daylight. But if they know a quarterback's coming out the backside, now all of a sudden that's it's probably wider, maybe two gaps wider. All of a sudden Bijan hits that crease on the backside. And in all honesty, that's where the big plays are. You know as well as I do.
Well, and I want to keep going down that road because I don't want to get too deep into the weeds
and
have a dry erase board in front of us. But I've made the point, and there's and you know this as well as anybody. A lot has been made about under center, pistol, shotgun. I was making the point earlier, and people don't understand this. The running back lining up straight behind the center on wide zone is imperative. Like, you don't want the running back to line up in a shotgun sidecar because all of a sudden he's lined up behind what would be the backside tackle. If you line him up behind the center, he can kind of get towards the front of the formation. Penix doesn't have a huge history under center. He does a little bit, but not a huge history. And I guess my question is, when we start talking about bootlegs and wide zone, how quickly do you think you'll be able to incorporate going under center with Michael Penix, and how much do you think Zach will do that?
Why, let me ask you then, let me throw one back at you. Why do you think being under center is more effective than running it from the pistol?
Well, I think the handoff is less – janky because the snap is right there and you know where the snap's going to be. Too many times in the pistol do you have to – the quarterback has to kind of react to the snap, and then it takes them an extra minute to turn around and get there. And I thought, honestly, to be honest, I thought Kirk struggled in pistol getting to the handoff point. And I thought it was awesome when Penix talking to you, and we played it about an hour ago, he talked about the running back's tracks and getting to the track and making sure everything lined up, and that was one of the first things on his mind.
Yeah, I understand completely what you're saying. From a quarterback's perspective, being under center and running stretch run or play action off a stretch run is far more difficult than doing it from the
right.
pistol set. That's why they put Kirk in the pistol set. But you know as well as I do, that second level is not reading the quarterback in the handoff. There's some eye. If your eyes are going with the quarterback on play action, then you're in a lot of trouble. They're tracking the guys in front of them, those offensive linemen. How are they coming off? Are they coming off the ball? That's why play action is so imperative, that the line simulates the first step of run action and then retreats. If you've got guys that are just retreating and I'm a linebacker, I'm not buying play action. I'm dropping into my coverage because they're not running the football. But if my guy comes off, if the guard and the center come off and engage that one technique and they take a step up the field and then retreat back off, now all of a sudden – wow, I've got a bite on that. And so they're not looking at the quarterback. So whether he's under center or whether he's in the pistol, that's not affecting anybody. I think there's a misconception that now maybe safeties are kind of peaking a little bit or something like that, but those that front seven's not being affected by where the quarterback is in play action.
Look, we could talk to Arch about football all day long.
Well, we are.
And the good news is that's exactly what we're going to do for the next couple of seconds. We do got to get to break.
Yeah.
All right,
well,
so don't
good,
look at me like you're mad.
I got questions.
We got to get to
He's
break.
Got
I've got questions, too. Arch has the answers, man. We're going to roll on. Dave Archer is going to stick with us for the rest of the hour, guys, so make sure you don't miss it. I say I don't want to get too deep in the weeds, Arch, but let's get deep in the
let's
weeds.
Go, let's go.
Let's do
man.
This thing. We only get so many chances. Stick with us here. It's the morning shift. We're live from Twin Peaks, Kennesaw. 92.9 The Game will be here all day. Arch coming up. More of Dave Archer on the other side of the break. Stay with us. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift live from Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. 92.9 The Game will be here all day long. So no matter what your favorite show is, Sandy's already in the house. They're getting revved up for Steakhouse. Andy and Randy will be here.
Yeah,
and then obviously Dukes and Bell
we're taking over
this
all weekend.
Afternoon. And don't forget, man, it's the, what did we call it, Bo? The Santa's costume party?
The Santa's helper.
Santa's helper costume party going on later on the day. I know Archie
was
stoked about
that. I believe it's all weekend. It'll be happening at Buckhead tomorrow when I'm down there from 3 to 5 for the college football watch party.
Yeah.
Jersey Mike will be with me. I'm excited. It's snowing in South Bend. Somebody posted a picture. Somebody made like – It's supposed to be a snowman. It kind of looks like a messed up turd, but it's supposed to be a snowman.
Man.
But I don't know. But you know, we've got Dave Archer joining us, Mike, here at Twin Peaks, and you know, we were talking all things, still during the break, and just hearing you guys break it down, I'm just kind of like got my mouth open, like, hey, what mid zone? Wait, what? Huh? What does that mean? But. One of the things that we've seen, Archie.
You kind of have stand there with your mouth open anyway with stuff running out of your mouth, so that's not like anything new.
You know, you can't be nice to me. I'm used to this from Wes, but you two.
Golly, man, y'all are going to make it all over
Mike does it.
Well, I can't wait for everybody to come down here and see the outfit you're going to wear this afternoon when you get off, because you're going to join the girls and start serving.
Yeah, right, why not?
Heard, a lot of fun.
They told me James here.
Show up for that one.
Yeah. James told me he'd pay me in beer. Yeah. So I said, yeah, I'll work.
Yeah. That's an easy payment.
One of the things we've seen the last few weeks, I feel like a lot of, is teams, defenses, coordinators, they've taken Bijan out of the passing game because they've sent a lot of those A-gap blitzes, right? And Bijan's having to step up. Mike and I, and Mike has proclaimed it, and I'm on board that he's probably, if not, the best blocking running back in the league. But our defense is going to have to maybe calm down with that with Penix, because I don't think Penix is this dual threat, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen type quarterback. But I do think he's a guy that if he sees the middle of the field open, he can find his way out, and now he can hit the accelerator and get 7 to 15 yards.
Well, in all actuality, if you're coming with pressure like that, you're taking away the gaps to escape is the theory on it. Now, Justin Simmons didn't do that against Darnold, and he got out of the pocket and threw the touchdown pass.
Rough.
But that's the idea, is you're going to flood – the protection with more than we can block, probably, or you're going to get everybody one-on-one up front, and it's not going to create any avenues to get out. It will be interesting to see how much. They've got two good edge rushers. Thibodeau can come off the edge. You know, we know Brian Burns can come off the edge. So they got two guys, even though they've got injuries. Ojulari's hurt. Obviously, they don't have the big dude in the middle in Lawrence, who really he leads them in sacks with nine sacks from the defensive tackle position. Those two guys won't play, but they still have two guys that can heat you up. I think they got 40-plus sacks on the year. So, but it will be interesting to see how much they maybe change, because you can bet going in, and I know you've talked about it, Mike, going into the games, people weren't overly worried about the quarterback not being between the tackles somewhere for this team.
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, you're going to be able to change the launch point a little bit more, and Michael has the ability, as Bo's suggesting, to escape and climb through the pocket, because that's where you don't want the quarterback. If he gets, if you can stay on the same level he is, and that's what we've done so well in pass rushing, and I'd be interested to hear what you have to say about this, Mike, is 13 sacks in the last three games. You go back and look at our pass rush in the last three games and then go before that. They're doing a really good job of rushing the passer in concert with one another, and they're not going past the quarterback. They're not getting behind him, because if they get behind him, that's when the creases open up for the quarterback to slide through or climb in the pocket. But because they're rushing together and staying on kind of the same level, the only place to go for me as a QB is to go one way or the other out. And now I'm going horizontal line of scrimmage, which is hard, and now I've cut the field in half, and I'm trying to make an awkward throw on the move. That's what you want to flush. That's where you want to flush the quarterback. And there's probably certain analytics that tell you flush him one way more than the other. And some would say, you know, you don't want him to be able to flush into his arm side. But I think that's what you're looking for from the pass rush when you get back to the A-gap blitzes. I don't think they're going to change that. I think that's something they're going to continue to come with, because the number one thing you said was it takes Bijan out of the passing game.
Yeah.
So you have to touch them down. If they're going to play man coverage or play fire zone, you have to touch them down the field with the football, because they're giving up a zone or they're playing man coverage, and we have to win. And so they're it's a man-on-man deal. We're better than you are is what they're telling you.
Yeah.
Right, Mike?
I mean, no, you're spot on, and I love what you're talking about, levels of the defense and pass rush. And you tell me if I'm wrong, one of the things that I have noticed recently, I used to – pine for this earlier in the year. Eddie Goldman, I love that he's been getting more snaps and early downs, because I think that's what he does. I think he just holds the point in the middle. He kind of builds that fence, you know, in the interior three, and allows everybody else to kind of do their job. Here's what I will say, and I'm curious to get your thoughts on this, about the double A-gap mugs, all the problems you've been presented with on third down with Kirk Cousins the last few weeks. I don't think you're just putting Michael Penix up to bat, and I don't think it's so much as like, hey, I'm going to walk these guys up and blitz them and force Bijan to pick it up. I think it's both. We're going to blitz him, and we're going to show it. And I think it's not only Michael Penix that's up to bat. I think it's Zach Robinson that's up to bat. I think it's, hey, show us that you have put something in that changes protection, that allows you to do different things. Maybe you slide the offensive line. Maybe Warner, you know, picks up an end if Brian Burns is out. There's different things you can do in those situations. And I never really saw any adjustments. You know, those guys are getting their hands up. They're right in front of Kirk. Even when he's getting the ball out, they're batting it down because they know it's coming out right now. And so I'll be curious to see not only how Michael Penix reacts when they get those looks on third down, but if there's anything else that's been incorporated into those, you know, into those game planning notes in terms of how else they can get Bijan out in a route.
Well, if you're going to bring more, as you know, Mike, if they bring more than we can block, or they bring someone that's not accounted for. See, the offensive line comes, and this is football 101, and most of our listeners probably know. But when they're pointing at a guy, okay, they're pointing at the guy that the offensive line is going to be responsible for, and then the extra guy is the backs guy, okay? So you're declaring who the five guys are that the five guys up front are going to block. And then the back counteracts off of that. Okay, that's my guy over here if he comes. Well, what they're doing is they're bringing that extra guy, and it's keeping Bijan in the game. So the only way to get out of it, Mike talked about sliding the line, and maybe you've got an extra blocker in there as a tight end. I don't really want Charlie Warner, Brock and Brian Burns.
Yes.
I don't really want
that.
Not
the best case scenario.
I remember playing. I never really wanted my tight end on one of their feature fire breathers coming off the edge. So, but it is a change-up. But the only way to get Bijan out is now you're going to have to go hot. And so that means now you can hurt them pretty badly, but if they've got it covered, let's say the guy, they're going to rock a safety down in the box, they're going to bring the extra backer, that's Bijan's guy, we're going to squeeze up front in the offensive line, turn the most dangerous man loose off of the edge, and I'm going to throw hot. You only got one place to throw it now. You know, and so it kind of restricts you a little bit. So it'll be interesting. That's the whole cat and mouse stuff. I completely hear you about what Zach Robinson, maybe his adjustments and what can he free up with Michael in the game, his ability to throw the football down the field, his quick decision. Because you go back and look at him at Washington, some really quick decisions. They tried to heat Penix up at Washington, too, and people paid the price.
Yeah, they did.
So it'll be interesting to see if he can incorporate some of the stuff we saw at Washington to give him that less opportunity to shoot the ball out of there. But it may be that there's some guys that aren't capable of doing what you're asking them to do, and that's the part that scares you.
Well, I think it is, and I'll let you know. I know that Bo's chomping at the bit to jump in, but it's just a personnel thing, and I think you have to show multiple looks. It can't just simply be we're going to have 5 men in Bijan, and Bijan has the A gap.
No question.
And that's what we've shown 9 times out of 10 this year. So, I think it's up to Zach to at least show one other, you know, option at that point.
Well, and that's where the quarterback moving, if you're going to move the quarterback so you're going to change his launch point. And I'm not just talking about offsetting behind the tackle, because what we've been doing with Kirk is we've gone like play action and offsetting behind the tackle. That's not really doing anything for the protection. But if we're going to get him outside the pocket, we're going to pin and get him outside the pocket. Now, all of a sudden, I got to be careful about coming, because now all of a sudden they've just washed 6 of my players off of the map, and I've got 5 guys back here, and I've got a quarterback on the move on the outside, and I'm man coverage in the secondary. That's a problem.
Elephants on parade, aren't they? You know, I mean, just straight down the line of scrimmage.
That was actually an answer to what I was going to ask, is how you incorporate those things, how you do that. One of the things we went back and watched some of his stuff against Texas last year, and you mentioned how quickly he gets the ball out when he sees something coming. I was kind of surprised. I didn't watch a ton of Penix in college, but when you go back and you do watch the stuff, he gets the ball out quickly. But the other thing is, talk about his pocket presence and with his feel and his feet, because he seems to be a guy that can kind of just kind of keep dancing. I don't want to say dancing. I think the proper term you guys would use is glide around and move your feet. But talk about what he's in the pocket, moving around and then getting the ball out.
Well, and real quickly on what you said before, with him getting the ball out, and you watch the Texas tape, and I'm sure there's other tapes you guys looked at, the Oregon games and stuff like that. But remember, he played in Kalen DeBoer's offense for 2 seasons. So, you're talking about a lot of reps in where Odunze is going to be, where Millen's going to be. Yeah. And so there's going to be an adjustment period for him getting used to where Drake is or where Ray Ray is. So there may be that hesitancy to maybe turn it loose because he hadn't seen it yet. What was the back end of your party you were talking about?
His
pocket awareness.
His presence,
if you go back and look at his tape, and I know that's what we're basing this on, is what we saw from his evaluations for the draft. That was the thing that impressed me the most. Even his arm strength and his ability to throw the ball vertically down the field, which he was a monster at that, was his ability to move in the pocket and not lose his definition of throwing the football, his ability to turn it loose quick. He would move and slide in the pocket, and it's sliding. You're sliding to the open spot. Pocket awareness, a lot of people use that term. But it's just a matter of feeling the pressure, sliding, but still throwing and staying in a throwing position. All of a sudden, you change your body, and now you can't get anything on the ball. We've seen a little bit of that over the last few weeks. Michael's pretty good at that. Now, again, we're basing this, again, off of tape from 12 months ago, right?
Yeah, well.
So. He hasn't had a chance to play much, and so there's going to be a little bit of rustiness. Going to have to live with some of that, and that may be what you were talking about early on, how Zach calls the game to get him comfortable in the game. And once he gets comfortable, I think you cut him loose.
Yeah. Look.
You want to cut him loose right off the bat.
I do. I'm
like
going
it.
4 verticals on
I
the first
it.
Play.
Yeah, I love it.
All nines, right? Look, man, we can talk till we're blue in the face. That's what we're going to continue to do, man. Dave Archer's going to stick with us one more segment. We're live from Twin Peaks, Kennesaw. Things starting to get cracked up. Bo just ordered a beer, so he's going to chug that when it gets to the table. And we'll see what else is going on, man. We're going to hit some more Falcons talk with Dave on the other side of the break. I'm going to ask him about the windows, difference from college to the NFL as far as throwing windows. Also, Let's talk some college football playoff.
Let's do that.
That'd be a lot of fun. Stick with us here. It's the morning shift. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Friday. It's a Falcons Friday. We're live from Twin Peaks, Kennesaw, getting you set up for the college football playoff. An epic weekend in the NFL. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Unfortunately, it's coming to a close, this segment, but Dave Archer's been kind enough to join us throughout this 8 o'clock hour.
Been fun.
A lot of fun. A lot of good football talk, especially building up to Michael Penix's first start. We'll get a Life of Squid here in just a second. Reminder, we are with you all day, 92.9 The Game, with you all day at Twin Peaks, Kennesaw. Make sure you stop by, grab a cold unit, check out the Santa's Helper costume contest, whatever else you got to do. I alluded to it going to break, Arch, and I want to hear this for the people out there. When you talk about Michael Penix at Washington, Joe Moore award-winning offensive line, three NFL wide receivers that were drafted last year. The windows were decently big most of the time, all right? And let's just call it what it is. I think you got to Michigan in the national title game. They closed up a little bit, ran some different things. Just talk about that transition as far as timing, as far as trusting yourself, as far as trusting your receivers to get open in that transition from college to the NFL.
Yeah, the only thing we could base it on, Mike, is what we saw in the Miami preseason game. And I didn't see him bat an eye on when he turns it loose. And I thought his ability to get the ball on target where it needed to be, off, you know, away from the defender to offset the throws. And, I mean, you're throwing away from defenders, just to simplify that, and that makes sense, I'm sure, to anybody listening. But then his ability to get through progressions. You can go back. There's a play in the Miami game where he wants the throw right. He's got a stack set up on the right side. He's got a guy outside and he's got a guy in a slot. He rotates back to the inside and finds a guy over the middle. This just in. He's got three NFL receivers here too.
Yeah,
and he's got a pretty good offensive
breaking
line.
News.
He got a pretty good offensive line. Mm. I don't worry about that. I do. The windows are tighter. You're exactly right. You don't have guys as wide open as we see in college, but he threw a lot of tight window throws, especially some of those deep shots to Adunze and to Millen, those guys that I think that Polk. So I think he'll be fine.
I go back to the Denver game where he throws it. Was it like a little crossing, a little drag route, yeah, to Ray Ray? I mean, zips it in there on the money. And then the throw to Casey Washington. Washington gets concussed on the play. I think that's why he dropped it. But that ball was tight coverage, yeah, and it was dropped in his breadbasket. So I think he can make those throws as long as he
– Well, that's why he's here, because he can make those throws.
Yeah. You think so?
Yeah.
You just got to trust his vision, yeah, right? Man, that's all it is.
Hey, go play. You know, Herb Brooks, I said this, Herb Brooks, legendary hockey coach for USA. You won the 1980 Olympic Games, beat the Russians in the semis, and went on and won the championship, won the gold medal. He would say on the bench all the time, walking up and down behind his team, play your game. Mm. Play your game. And that's what Mike's got to do. Yeah. I would keep saying that in his ear, play your game.
I love it.
And if not, maybe he can get a katana sword and he can show it to people at parties. Let's go, Dylan.
You shall not pass!
That's right, a little W sauce. Boy, we had breakfast here at Twin Peaks, and holy smokes, the bacon. That's probably the best bacon I've ever eaten in a restaurant.
Wow, that's
in my
big
life.
Praise, and
wow.
I don't think you're that far off. It's big praise, but I don't think you're overblowing it. It was really good.
It was the perfect amount of the right crispiness, and it's an art. And I was talking to James, who cooked
that's
it. He runs these, and he's like, "Yeah, you never know how another man likes their bacon cooked." I said, "Well, you apparently know how I like mine cooked." Don't forget my friends at New Realm Brewing, the Owl End Lager. I believe you can get it here at New Realm. What are you laughing for?
There's always like these hidden connotations.
These double entendres that I hope that Dylan is recording every single week.
Get all this on the blooper tape, Bill.
Oh, man.
I had Dylan give me some sound, and I was going to use it, but I decided that it was a waste. Not the sound, because we can use the sound next week. It's good sound, but we got Arch here.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you how I've spent the last you used to travel and do the games. You used to do college football games on Saturdays, and you'd come into whatever city we're in for Falcons on Sundays. Well, you don't do as much of that these days. Mm-hmm. So while the TV viewing audience loses something, I gain something. Because I get to watch the game. Him and I find a sports bar, yeah, Mike, when we land, and we go watch the second half of the 3:30s and the first half of the night games. And I say stupid stuff, and he punches me in the head. and tells me what really happened, and I take a sip of my beer. Yeah. So we want to talk some college football playoffs. What game are you most looking forward to?
I've kind of contemplated this the whole time, and I'm really excited about all of them. And I know that's a cheap and it's a bailout. I'm excited about India. Can Indiana go into Notre Dame, the venerable, you know, touchdown Jesus and the whole deal, the grass longer, the snow on the ground. Can they go into a place that's legendary? I know that these kids, maybe they don't even know how legendary it is, and win that football game. Indiana is number one in the nation against the run.
Oh, wow.
I mean, get ready. I mean, you're talking all this noise about Notre Dame, all this kind of, and I'm not talking about you guys. Everybody's talking about Notre Dame, this, that, and the other, and I do think Notre Dame is pretty good, but Indiana's going to bring it, you know, and nobody's expecting them to win. They got the coach of the year, all that kind of stuff. I'm excited about that. And then I'm really excited. I know you got everybody's talking about Ohio State and Tennessee, and I think that could be an epic game. Both teams are really good defensively. Both are in the top 10 in the country in a defense against the run. Both of them exciting playmakers on the other side of the ball. I'm excited about to see Clemson. If Clemson can go into Austin and win a football game,
man,
I think that's going to be a closer game than people think it is. I know like the spread's like 12 points or something like that. I don't buy that. If Klubnik plays anywhere near his capability, that game is going to go down to the wire because Clemson's coming in there, and they've got five-star talent all across the field. Everybody's talking about Texas and all their great recruits and the transfer. You know what? Clemson's been doing that for about 10 years. You talked about it. They won two national championships.
My buddy said yesterday that Clemson's played a tougher SEC schedule this year than Texas has. And I was like, you know what? You're probably right about that.
That's not far off.
No, Arch, I think you bring up a good point about Indiana. You know, a lot of people talk about Kirby was with Nick Saban for so long. Well, so was Kurt Cignetti. Cignetti was our wide receiver coach for 3 years when I was in college. And he says, Google me, I win. I can confirm. I saw it up close and personal. He definitely does.
Arch, James Franklin hasn't won big games. He's had a problem winning big games. He loses seemingly every year to Ohio State and Michigan. This year he didn't have Michigan, so he replaced Michigan with Oregon. SMU's, and I think Penn State on paper is better, but SMU just doesn't kind of, they don't quit. They just kind of hang around, and they almost hung around with Clemson until they beat them. How is that game going to play out, you think?
Well, it'll be interesting to can Penn State run the ball? Penn State ran for almost 300 yards against Oregon. This just in, SMU is number four in the country against the run. So they're going to swell up against the run and say, Aller, you beat us. Can you make plays, more plays than my quarterback, Heath Jennings, can play? That'll be interesting. Does the weather affect these kids that are from the South? Some of them are coming from Florida, California, Texas, for SMU to come play. But they know this is a golden opportunity. And this whole thing about James Franklin doesn't win. They used to say that about Bob Stoops. You know, he didn't win big games.
Said it about Dabo.
I don't remember him playing. I don't remember him taking a snap. What snap did he take?
Hey,
the kids go play. Your players win.
It is
your players
his job
lose.
To get
Come
them
on,
prepared.
Man.
He's got to get them prepared.
Yeah.
Well, if they're in the game, they've been prepared all year long. So I think they'll be ready to go.
Unfortunately, Arch, our time is coming to a close. As is the morning shift. Yeah, it stinks. But look, man. As always, you can catch Arch on Sunday talking about this Michael Penix game plan and everything going on with the Atlanta Falcons. If he can get Bo out of his microphone.
Well, we're going to hear you talk about it before I'm going to talk about it, because Mike does a great job on our pregame show. Make sure you tune in about 2 hours before, because Mike's on with Chris Goforth, and they do a really good job of breaking it down. We just kind of cake the baton and run with it, Wes and I.
It's my favorite part of the job, man. Look, when we come back, we're still live from Twin Peaks, Kennesaw. I see the bald head that is Steak Shapiro sitting off to the side with Sandra Golden. We'll hand it off to them coming up next on Sports Radio 929 The Game.